Also turn with me to Lord's Day 37. Lord's Day 37, we are still on commandment number 3. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 37. Talking about swearing oaths and making commitments in the name of God. This is found on page 27, Lord's Day 37. Let's please respond to the questions. But may we swear reverently by the name of God? Yes, when the magistrate requires it, and when it may be needful otherwise, to maintain and promote fidelity and truth to the glory of God and our neighbor's good. Oath is grounded in God's word. Therefore, it was rightly used by the saints in the Old New Testament. May we swear by the saints or by any other creatures? No, for a lawful oath is calling upon God that he, as the only searcher of hearts, may bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. Yes. And so I'm going to focus more so on the positive aspect of this Lord's Day that certain denominations may say that all oaths are unlawful or ungodly, but the scriptures testify differently. One example I want to bring up is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where in this situation, Corinth was a very challenging church for Paul, a lot of difficult issues, incest, there was adultery going on, there was idolatry going on. I mean, however you think, the worst church you could think of, it was 10 times worse. And so let's just say I wouldn't want to be a pastor of Corinth or an elder or a deacon. I'm sure you wouldn't want to be one in Corinth with all the challenges that they face. But in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul's character is under attack. You know, the Corinthians, they try to find everything to try to undermine Paul's authority. And so in the beginning, Paul talks about how he initially wanted to come back to Corinth as he was going up to Macedonia. But he was, not that he changed his mind, but, well, actually, yes, he did. He did not go to Corinth immediately. And so he makes an explanation of why he did not come to Corinth. And so, knowing that the Corinthians would use this as a way of saying, "Well, Paul, you don't really mean what you say. You're just like one of those other among all those other phony Christians or phony people in authority trying to boss us around." But basically, Paul, if you really get into his explanation, the reason why he didn't come is because if he did come, it would be for judgment. Because there was a lot of sin going on in that congregation that needed to be repented of. And so he wanted to give them more time to reconcile, to repent of their sin, because if he came, he would not come with warm hugs, but with a sledgehammer. And so Paul says in verse 23, Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul. So there we go. Paul calls on God as his witness, making an oath, that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. So the reason why he's doing this is to reassure the Corinthians that he's not just a flake, that he is committed to them, and that he still sees them as fellow workers of the gospel. They are still the church, as you know, with all their faults, with all their troubles that they deal with, they're still the church, and they're still considered fellow workers. and that they may stand, Paul says. And so Paul makes this oath to reassure them of his intentions. And so what's the point for us? The point for us is that we are to recognize that commitments are, especially specifically in regards to the church, commitments are a vital part of the life of the church. For leaders, not only just for leaders, as pastors, elders, or deacons, all of us have made a vow, have made an oath of our responsibilities to carry them out biblically and faithfully to the Word of God. And we will have to give an account for all the things that we say, especially myself, with everything that I say and everything that we do in conducting our responsibilities. But it's not just the leaders that are under commitments. It's the members of the church are also, you also have taken vows. You've also have made commitments to this local body, right? You have committed yourself to not only just show up on Sundays, but you are, even as the Heidelberg Catechism and elsewhere says, that we are to utilize the gifts that we have been given for the benefit of the body. And so much of the common pattern of for so many Christians is that we just kind of pick and choose, you know, which church we can go, we can hop around, but there's no commitment. We just kind of hover. Well, I'm a Christian, you know, but I'm not committed to a local church. To Scripture, to Paul, that doesn't make sense. If you're a Christian, you commit yourself to a local body, and for the benefit of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Making commitments is vital to everything that we do, in our jobs, in our roles as parents, in our roles as a husband and wife. We've made commitments. Now the question is, how have we, you know, kept up our commitments? Maybe we're always imperfect, and we're always we need more room to work on, but more things to work on. But nevertheless, the reaction can be, well, as long as I don't make any commitments, I will be safe from, you know, judgment or safe from any kind of responsibility or that kind of reaction. But the point is, at the very base level, we've all, as Christians, we've committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls us to love his church, to serve our neighbor, to love our neighbor. And so all of us have commitments one way or another. All of us, in a sense, have made vows that we are going to be held responsible, that we are going to have to give an account. Now, this is not to say that, you know, this is a works righteousness thing. No, it's not. We're all saved by grace, by Christ's righteousness. We champion that as reformers. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we're free from responsibility, especially within the context of the church. If we want to build this church, if we want to cultivate godliness and community in this church, it's going to come through commitments. It's going to come through the whole body doing their part to cultivate godliness, to pray for one another, at least at the very base level that we can do as members, is to pray for one another. Pray for the growth of the church. Pray for certain people. Perhaps there are certain people not here today for X amount of reasons. Maybe they're sick, or maybe something is going on. Well, maybe we should find out. Maybe we should reach out to them and see if we can be of any help, if we can encourage them, if we can pray for them in some way. So commitment is an important aspect of the local body of Christ in order for it to build, in order for it to grow. Because without that, we're just kind of islands. We just show up and we walk out. And if that's the church we're going to be, the church doesn't really prosper, because it's more individualistic. We're just here to get what we want. We walk out and we think about it, and we don't think about it until Sunday. So all that to say, let me conclude with this, that we as a local body need to utilize our gifts. We need to utilize what's in front of us to bless others, to be a community. And that comes through commitment. We come to church to be fed, not just so we can, you know, so we can be fed and walk out, but we come to be fed that we may live for Him. We come to love Christ more so that we can love more. We come to Him so that we can pray more, that we may commit and serve Christ and the bride that He loves. Let's conclude there.